everybody. Welcome to Just for Variety. Today is September 15th, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. On today's episode, I'm chatting with Eva Longoria. I caught up with the Hollywood powerhouse shortly after she wrapped her directorial debut, Hot Flamin', about Richard Montanez, the man behind the creation of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. This coming weekend, September 17th through 19th, Longoria will appear at the second annual Latinas Make a Difference Summit, hosted by Poderistas, a Latina digital community that Longoria co-founded just a year ago. Plus, find out if Longoria is planning a run for political office. But before we get to Ms. Longoria, let's take a look at this week's Just for Variety column. Attention Drake and Nicki Minaj, Lil Nas X tells me he'd love to work with you. In fact, the Montero Call Me By Your Name hitmaker says, let's do both of them at the same time. I caught up with Lil Nas X at the MTV VMAs. Keep in mind, this was before Minaj announced she's not ready to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Not sure if that changes anything with Lil Nas X. Also at the VMAs, Saweetie teased that she may be releasing a collaboration with Cher. Everything will unwind and unfold during the holidays, Saweetie told me. How many more days till Christmas? Welcome back. I'm chatting with Eva Longoria about her Latina digital platform, Poderistas, and her upcoming directorial debut, The Cheetos Movie, Flamin' Hot.
Hi.
How are you, love?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we were just griping about the state of the world right now. It's just, I'm just done.
I know. I'm great. Just wrapped up the movie I directed and finally moved back home because I was in Albuquerque for 5 months. And so I slept for about a week and now it's like off and running again to the races.
Well, we're going to get to the movie in a second. I do have to talk to you about Poderista, though.
Yeah.
Second year. I mean, look, you launched this. The emphasis was on the election. So how has, within this short little year, has the focus or the themes changed for you guys?
How has the themes changed? I feel like, you know, we built this platform during an election year, but it wasn't just for elections. It was really, you know, built to be multipliers, force multipliers within our own community. And so I think that need will never change, whether it's an election year, whether it's a midterm, whether it's just daily life. And so, you know, we are really lucky and blessed that we built this community so fast and so strong to celebrate Latina culture and to harness Latina power. And I think as the demographics grow in the United States, it's only going to be more important to have this aggregation of community moving forward.
Tell me, what is the community? What's the community you're finding there? Who's coming to you? Who's voicing themselves?
Everybody. That's everybody. Right. We have moms. We have professionals. We have millennials. We have students. You know, we have grandmas. I mean, intersectionality, you know, we have a first generation Latina, we have a ninth generation Latina, we have Afro Latinas, it is such a diverse group of women.
Why do you think it's resonating so much?
You know, I think there is always a yearning for information and inspiration. And obviously people turn a lot to to social media for that, right? Yeah. Like where can I get my news? Where can I get information? And where can I get rid of the noise? And we've really proven ourselves as a platform to speak to the Latina community and say, hey, you guys should be paying attention to this. And whether it's, you know, politics or workshops, it could also be, you know, books. You know, books from our community, written by our community. It could also be beauty, fitness, entertainment. And so for us, it's just, incredible how much we've grown and how fast we've grown. But I think you hit it right on the head when you said, you know, why is it resonating? I think Latinas like to see their voices amplified. Mm. And, you know, sometimes all we need is permission to be great. And they will get that permission from this site.
Who gave you permission to be great?
Oh, my mother, my sisters, my family. I come from a family of very powerful women, powerful, independent women in America. And so, you know, since I was young, not only did they give permission for me to be great, they expected me to be great and to do great things. And so I think I was really lucky. I didn't have to look far for role models or mentors. I think there's such an emphasis on celebrity culture today about, who inspires you? And it has to be a famous person. And for me, that never was really the case because, celebrity wasn't a thing in my day.
the idea of this year's summit centers on poder and action. What does that mean to you?
Oh my God. Well, we're called poderistas, which means powerful women. And so the main objective is to make sure Latinas, we lift them up to serve as catalysts for change in their family, in their community, in their relationships, in their job. And so this poder in action could represent, the power of us as a group, the power of you as an individual, the power of us as a community. And so we want to highlight and spotlight, certain Latinas that are inspiring or sparking change through all of these sessions that we're going to break out to. And we're going to have a very unique format because we're balancing like lifestyle content with civic engagement. So there will be something for everybody.
How do you stay in action? Because you are a busy lady. How do you do it?
Yes. Well, I prioritize. Everything's important. And, you just have to make sure that you have a good team around you, whether it's your family or friends or coworkers, that there are people around you who are fanning your flames. And whether that flame is a passion for activism or philanthropy or career, I think I'm surrounded myself with some people that really celebrate all of this action in my life, whether it's building my brand or my philanthropy or my political activism. And I think that makes a big difference, that you're surrounded by birds of a feather.
How do you think Biden is doing? Is he delivering to the Latino community, to Latinas?
Oh, that's such a big question.
I know.
I don't think I can answer. I feel like I've had my head in the sand for the last 5 months because I've been directing. And like you said, whenever you're like, the world is going to shit. I just was like, wait, what happened? Wait, where, what is? So I feel like I'm actually just getting caught up. I mean, I literally, you don't even have the capacity to eat when you're, deep into a project like I did. And so I'm just coming up for air now and kind of regrouping specifically with this summit to figure out, to figure out the answer to that question is, are our needs being met as a community? And it's not only Biden, it's your congresswomen, your congress people, your senators, your school board, is your community banning masks at school? Is your, there's so many levels of civic engagement. And it's, I think the easiest thing is to, always blame the president. I remember when Obama was president, my mom would say, tell him to fix the pothole, and I'm like, okay, mom, he doesn't do that. But I think knowing how you can be civically engaged and targeting the right people who are creating that change or blocking that change is important. And so for me, I'm kind of just digging back in. And as we're curating this summit, going, we should be talking about this or that. And I was like, what? What happened over there? So kind of getting caught up on all that now.
So we have to talk about your home state of Texas.
Oh my God, do we?
Eva, what happened? Did you see this?
What happened?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, by the way, the writing's been on the wall. And this is exactly my point of like, people want to, blame Biden for a lot of things, but look at your state legislatures. Who are they made up of? What are they doing? What are they passing? If you look at what Texas did, that was a state that really is, stepping on the rights of women everywhere. The consequences and the magnitude of this case will be felt throughout the country, not just in Texas. But that was made by a state legislature, and right. So we have to be sure to hold them accountable in the next election, especially as women, especially as an issue so uncontroversial as reproductive rights. 74% of Americans believe women should have a right to choose, you know, what happens to their bodies. And I think it's so hypocritical that, you know, Republicans are saying, you know, it's no mask, my body, or no vaccine. Right. It's, you know, no vaccine mandate, my body, but you're going to control my body. It's so hypocritical and so unfair and so disappointing. And if we don't pay attention, it's only going to get worse. And so I need people to wake up in Texas and really stand up for human rights, because that's what this is an infringement on. And not only that, you know, the voting rights is next. I mean, the redlining, the gerrymandering, the redistricting, all of that's next after the census. And so it's really going to affect communities of color. You know, it's already hard enough to vote, and to make it even harder for communities of Black and Brown people is unfair.
What do you say to someone who says to you, "What can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do?"
You can do a lot. I think that's the misconception, is I'm only one person, one vote. Why do I matter? And I think that's how we do fix this country, is one person at a time, which affects one community at a time, which affects one state at a time. And it really turns into change, and just to be the change that you want to see, volunteering, going door to door, registering people to vote, you know, getting out the message of, you know, what is happening, paying attention. I mean, just pay attention,
right?
And get out of the, what are you talking about? I can't change anything. You are the change,
right?
Especially young people.
And I know, I think I've asked you this probably 10 times over all the years I've interviewed you, but when are you going to run for office?
That's the other misconception, is you have to be a politician to be political. And I think, you know, the power lies with the citizen, and it will always lie with the citizen. And so that's what I tend to do, is, you know, use my civic engagement as my voice, and not be tied up in whether or not, you know, I want to be a politician. I can still be political.
Well, let's talk about this movie you directed, your feature film directorial debut. How did it go?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Amazing. I couldn't have asked for a better studio to do it with, a better cast, a better crew. It was a dream. I had so much support. I had such a strong vision, and they supported me all the way through. And, you know, I was operating from a place of authenticity and making sure I represented not only the story of Richard Montanez and the biopic that we were trying to do, but of the Mexican-American community at large, and making sure, you know, we were represented and in culture and casting, in food, in the music. I mean, I've just started editing, so, you know, carrying that throughout the post process as well.
So are you still eating Cheetos, or are you like, just get them away from me? I cannot eat another Cheeto.
Definitely still eating them.
What was the most challenging part for you as a first time director?
The New Mexico heat. So hot. I mean, there were days our the asphalt melted underneath our camera trucks. I mean, it was so hot. But I think probably the greatest challenge was making sure we stayed true to the theme of the movie, which is, you know, opportunity is not distributed equally. And when that happens, you have to work twice as hard and twice as long and be twice as good. And you still have to persevere. And, you know, it's the story is so many things. It's rags to riches. It's American Dream 101. It's about perseverance. It's about the underdog. But at the end of the day, it's also about, you know, one person's perspective and struggle within themselves. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful biopic.
Now we're going to take a short break, but when we return, Longoria talks about her jump into the tequila business. Then later, she weighs in on the turmoil at Time's Up. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Here's more of Eva Longoria.
Keeping with the Mexican theme.
Right. Are you giving George Clooney a run for his money?
Absolutely. I'll tell you why. This is a female-run tequila. I mean, it is a female from the top to the bottom. And that's really rare in the industry of tequila. And so, as a Mexican American, I'm just so proud to be co-founder. First of all, as a Mexican American, right? Like, it's already something authentic to my culture. And, you know, I have obviously a strong connection to Mexico and longstanding roots that has always been inspired by tequila. And my mission has always been, whether it's in my production company or my philanthropy, whatever it is, it's to uplift the voices of women and celebrate them. And so, this particular team, it's not solely women, mm-hmm. but I love highlighting the women who are playing a pivotal role to encourage others in the space to do the same. And so we have, what's her name? Maida, which is the CEO of our distillery. She's female. Wow. And then we have our head of production, Alejandra, and she's the, and then we have Mariana, who's our artisana tequila. Excuse me. So these are very, very key roles in what we are. Oh my God! Look, elote bowl. Sorry. excuse me. And so, I'm just excited about it. And there's a unique way and process in which we make the tequila, which makes it stand shoulders above anyone else in quality and taste. And so it's really fun to celebrate this ancient craftsmanship and merge it with, you know, a modern take and celebrate it with, you know, the progression of women being involved.
So what's your favorite way to drink tequila?
Right now it's in a Mexican mule, which is a Moscow mule with tequila.
And what's your remedy for a tequila hangover?
Well, that's the genius about this, our tequila. You know, there's a very specific process called the head, the tails, and the heart of tequila when you make it. Mm. The head is what gives you the headache. It has like ethanol and acetone, and the tail is like the toxic shitty part that you throw out. So what you want is the heart of the distilled down agave. And so that head is what gives you the hangover. It's the sweetness. Uh-huh. So you want a little bit of head, you want a little bit of that in your tequila, but the way they master our tequila making, it is zero hangover. I remember at my wedding, because I'm a wine drinker at heart, and at my wedding I was like, I can't drink wine for 12 hours. Like, that's how long Mexican weddings are. I was like, I think I'm gonna drink tequila. I think I'm gonna try tequila. My husband goes, no, I don't think tonight's the night you try tequila. my wedding night. I had such a good time. And no hangover. I was like, what? But I'll tell you, it was Victoria Beckham who got me to love tequila.
And it was announced this week that you're resigning from the board of Time's Up. What made you decide to do that?
You know, I'm excited about the trajectory of Time's Up. We were always servicing, you know, the inception. Can you take this, please? We were always, you know, in service of our mission and setting up a structure and a space to end the imbalance of power. And so I'm excited for the next generation to move that forward, because it is important that the work continues. I'm super proud of being part of a group that united in sisterhood to change how things can be better. And I think that it's important to continue this work. I've made a financial contribution to make sure, they're going to continue on. But this next generation of leadership is exactly who can take this mission forward to continue to make workplaces safe for women everywhere. And look, the movement has transcended the organization.
Right.
And so with this larger movement towards equality for women, it needs to be fought on every front. I mean, as you've seen with Texas, with voting, I mean, everything. And so, believe me, my work is not done. But I just step back knowing it's in the best hands possible moving forward.
But what do you say to people who say, it's hit some real bad speed bumps along the way? How do you get over that?
I will say to that, you know what? It's okay to make mistakes in the effort to topple patriarchy. Mm-hmm. Mistakes will be made. It doesn't mean the effort should stop.
Right, right.
We have to continue. I mean, we've been under thousands of years of a patriarchal society. It's not going to topple in 3 years of time substitution. We have so much more work to be done.
That was Eva Longoria. The second annual 3-Day Latinas Make a Difference Summit kicks off on Friday, September 17th. Thanks for listening to this week's Just for Variety. Coming up next time, Jessica Chastain. She talks portraying Tammy Faye Baker in the new biopic, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Until then, don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mark Malkin. For all your up-to-the-minute Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. See you next time.